You're listening to Amud V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Erevin, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Just coming off Daf Yud Gimel, remember the Zichra Simon for Yud Gimel was a Bar Mitzvah boy, and the Bar Mitzvah boy was leaning from Parsha Sota. But of course, it was leaning beautifully until he got up to some words that were missing because it wasn't with Kankan Tom. And the Rav praised the Bar Mitzvah boy who was named Meir. And reminded Meir, commented on how Meir illuminated their eyes, reminding us of the whole Meir discussion, Rebbe Meir discussion, sorry. And he warned him and gave him the empowering speech to be an Anav like his Hillel. And then Halacha will fall in cards there. Okay, great, wonderful, awesome. See, we got it. We're just going to hold on to it. Yudalid is, Simon is going to be?
Yad.
Yeah. So it's based on Yad, based on hands. It used to be a little bit more general, but I think when he got to Erevin, he made it more specifically a juggler, like the hands of a juggler, having the imagery of, like, I guess you could imagine a juggler with, like, big hands, but, like, the hands, the Yad of the juggler who's, like, moving around his hands. The first Zichru point is going to be on Amud Aleph, and the next two are going to be on Amud Beis. The second one starts at the bottom of the Amud, but really it's mostly on Amud Beis, so we'll just do one for tonight. We just did a new Mishnah the other day. The Mishnah was told us the requirement. Let's go back to just the first line of the Mishnah. You give them a little base at the bottom. Hakore sha'amru. So the Korah that right this legendary Korah that we've been talking about. So tell us about the details of this. Rechava kede the kabel ariach that has to be wide enough to be able to hold an ariach. Okay, well, what's an ariach? As we said, ariach. Chatzi levena shel shlosha tvachim. So an ariach is half of a 3x3 brick. When you cut a 3x3 brick in half, you are left with a 3x1.5 brick, right? Because it still has its width, it just doesn't have its length anymore, or whatever, it's a square. Okay, so that is what we're talking about. So it would seem that how wide do you need the korah to be? You would think that it needs to be 1.5 tefachim wide, but then the Mishnah goes on to say, "Daya lekorosh tehei rechava tefach, kedei lekabel ariach lerachvo." But it's enough to have it a tefach. Hold on. So that's the question. The question. The Gemara right away. Gemara says on Yudal Medal, tefach. What? a tefach with this enough? Tefach umechetza boy. You need a 1.5 tefachim, right? Last time I checked, 3 divided by 2 is 1.5, not 1. Kevan de so the Gemara responds. Kevan de rochov lekabel tefach. Since it's able to be mekabel tefach, ido chatzi tefach, and the other one half a tefach. So mal bin le betina mashu mahagisa. So malbin le betina means to, like, to Rashi says mimareachit betit, which means like to smooth it out with clay. Meaning, so put some clay under it on each side from underneath, and you do mashu mahaygisa, a little bit on this side, a little bit of this side, and it'll stay. So right. So what you're doing is you're putting a 1.5 wide brick tefach brick on a beam, and if you put a little bit of clay, I think, coming out from the sides from under it, that will hold it, and that would be fine. And so that's why the size of a one tefach for korah is enough.
Isn't the practicality of putting such a brick on a korah of a tefach thickness not really pertinent? I mean, we're saying that then what's necessary in order to support such a brick. Okay, if it'll fall off or not fall off in terms of the, you know, I mean, it wouldn't fall off, really. And this is just the cement in place, but who cares about cement in place?
Well, I mean, if it would slip off quite easily, because it's not fully, you know, not
the bottom of the swell. The korah is sufficient to support it.
Right.
The fact that it would fall off is not because, I don't know, because you have things that extend up beyond support. I mean, there's construction done like that all the time. So, like, again, my high, like, who cares?
You mean, like, just leave out the clay piece, you're saying?
Yeah, like, why does anyone tell
me? Like, why do we need that cement?
I said, by the way, yes, it can't support it, but in order for it to not fall off, which it may not fall off anyway.
Right, I mean, yeah, we remember, we don't need an actual brick there.
Right.
So you don't even need to put actual clay on this korah. Like, we're not talking That's about that. But I think it's just, it's saying that it's a feasible thing for a, you're saying on its own I would know that. Without the clay, maybe. I guess Gemara doesn't think so. I guess the Gemara. Then really the question doesn't even start, right? The question seems to be, well, we have a. It says it has to be able to hold a 1.5 tefachim, and yeah, and it's only a tefach. Does a tefach really hold 1.5 tefachim? Okay, kind of. It's imbalanced. No, but if you put cement on, then it's really good.
I'm saying the added cement is not necessary for the korah to be halacha by itself.
Well, not only do you not need cement, you don't even need the brick on top. True, the point is we're trying to say that what would we say is kind of meaning? Yeah, maybe you could say like, hey, it'll hold, but so it's so good. But like you can say like confidently, like this is strong enough. If you put a little bit of cement, this is definitely strong enough to hold it and have it balanced. Amar Abba Bar Rav Huna, more halachos of a korah. Korah shamru tzricha shtei bria kedei lekabel. Ariach. The korah needs to be strong enough that it is able to support the ariach. That's not a chiddush. Umami de korah einan shrichen sheyu brian kedei lekabel korah v'ariach. But the ma'ami de korah, the things that are supporting the beams. Right now we're assuming that it's not on the walls, right? Rashi says, umami de korah im hanicha gabe sedos. Right. Let's say we're putting it on pegs. It's not on the walls because presumably walls of it are going to be strong enough to hold it on. But let's say it's on pegs. I don't have a picture over here. I don't think. I don't have a picture here. But if you would put walls on it, you have a nice one. Yeah, but let's just say that there are some pegs. They're coming out of the top or whatever it is, and you put the beam on it. So you might think, hey, wait, the pegs need to be strong enough that let's say they were weak pegs. The pegs were only strong enough to hold the beam. So if I would put a brick on top of the beam, so the beam itself is able to hold it, but the pegs, those would cave in, and maybe that would be a problem. So comes Rabba Bar Rav Huna to say no. Only the korah needs to be strong enough to be makabel the ariach, but the mamide korah don't need to, right? Because we're not really putting a brick on it. You don't need to put a brick on it. This is just a qualification for the quality and strength of the korah, not whatever the korah is on. We don't care about that. So yes, it's true. If you come to put a brick on it, the whole thing would fall, but it's not because of the weakness of the korah, therefore the korah is kosher, and we don't have so many requirements for the mamide korah. Rav Chista Amar, but Rav Chista says, Echad zev, echad zev, shvichan sheyu brin kedei lekabel korah b'ariach. He says, no, this is it's part and parcel of it. It's what he holds, right? Because and I could be, he would say, at the end of the day, if you would put a brick on it, it wouldn't be enough. Of course, we would say there are other... There's another opinion in the Mishnah that it will be that's not going to be in line with that, but we'll see it in a moment. Amar Rav Shesha. Rav Shesha says, "Haniach korah al gabei mavoi uparasa le'machatzelas." So if somebody has a korah on a mavoi and he spreads out a machatzelas, which is a reed mat, v'hagbiya min akarka shlosha, and now but it's three tefachim or more away from the ground. Here's a nice picture of it. This is a very nice picture actually. So you see there's a reed mat hanging down, so it's closed from three sides, and on the fourth side there's a korah, so normally the mavoi, now you have a reed mat going down, but it's a more than three tefachim above the ground, which means that we're not applying lavud. So what's the halacha? So interesting, he says korah ein kan, mechitza ein kan. You ain't got a korah, you ain't got a mechitza. Korah in kan, daha mechasya. You don't see it. What's the point of a korah?
Hecker.
right? So it's a hecker. It's supposed to be something visible, and over here I can't see. I can't see the korah anymore.
Because of the mat.
Yeah. Can't see the korah. Mechitza ain't kan though. To have yela mechitza shagidi and boken ba. But it can't be a mechitza because it's a type of wall that kids, that young goats walk under, which is code word for lava doesn't work because it's three tachem or more, right? That's the standard that's given. That little goats, if it's less than three tachem, little goats can walk through it, and therefore that's not considered a wall if little goats can like, you know, walk under that. Three tachem or more, right? No, less than three tachem or less than three tachem would be a problem. Okay, which is interesting because I would think like you look at it and it looks like it's mishum yachid. So like if the whole thing is mishum heker, if that's what we're concerned about, then you would think that it looks like a mishum yachid. What's wrong with that? So I'm not sure. I have to look into that in our chazar amir shalom. Okay. So in Rabbanon, we learned in a braisa, korah hayotze. So we're going to learn a bunch of interesting types of koros that you didn't expect, and we'll see what works and what doesn't. Korah hayotze mikosel zeh ve'ino nagas bekosel zeh. So if you have a korah that comes out of this wall from one side, but it doesn't reach all the way to the other side, which we actually learned a little bit about, if you remember, in Daf Tes, with the Tluya and the Meshucha. So over here, it's reaching out to one side, but it doesn't go to the other side. Here's also a picture for those who like, right? So it doesn't connect all the way to the other side. So what's the halacha? Or v'chein shnei koros achas yotza mikosel zeh v'achas yotza mikosel zeh ve'ino nogos zu b'zu. Right? So they're both coming from two sides, but they don't meet in the middle. Pachos mishlosha ein tzarich lahavi korah acheres. If it's less than three tefachim, the gap in between these two, or the gap in between that one and the wall, you don't need to bring another one because obviously we're applying love. Shlosha, if it's three or more, tzarich lahavi korah acheres. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, pachos me arba ein tzarich lahavi korah acheres. Arba tzarich lahavi korah acheres. Right, and Rabbi Gamliel Lishitaso argues that the shear for lavud is four tvachim, not three tvachim. V'chein beis koros hamatimos. And so too, if we have two twin koros, right? Tomim are twins. You have two twin koros. Lo bazu kede lekabel reach, v'lo bazu kede lekabel reach. So you have two koros that are twins. They're basically the same size, and they're side by side, right? Looks a little safer toe over there. Yeah. So you have two koros that are side by side. So if combined, they are kede lekabel reach. Sorry. So each one individually can't support an ariach. Imekabelos ariach. L'rach votefach ain't tzarich lavi korah acheres. V'mlav tzarich lavi korah acheres. So if combined, they can hold up where you put them next to each other, and now they're a tefach wide, and they're able to hold it. Then that's fine. It's okay if they're separate. And if not, you need a new korah. Rezuna gamliel omer imekabelos ariach le'arko shlosha. Ain't tzarich lahavi korah acheres. V'imlav tzarich lahavi korah acheres. So Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel says, even if they can't support it, but if by their length they can, meaning if you were to separate them and put one under part of a brick and one under the other part of the brick. Do we have a picture here? Yeah. Okay, so in this picture over here,
suspended between the two.
Yeah, so they're not a full tefach next to each other, but because they're spread out, they can hold the weight of the brick. Then that would be fine. So that would be fine. Okay. Hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. Okay. So now, what if you have one of them is higher and one of them is lower? Right, so like instead of the beams doing like this, or you see it with my hands, instead of the beams being like this, they're like this. So certainly, first of all, each one individually is not able to hold it. Let's say each one is able to hold it. If they were same level, they would be able to, but now they're not. So what's halacha there? Hayu achas lamala v'achas lamata. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer ro'en es elyona ki'ilu hi lamata. We are able to apply this concept of rowing. We can play pray pretend, and we can view it as if the higher one is lower and the lower one is higher. Qualification. Ubilvad shelotehe aliona lamala michaf, ama v'tachtona lamata me'asara. As long as the higher one doesn't go beyond 20 tefachim, and the other one 20 amos, and the lower one doesn't go between 10 tefachim.
In Tuma Tahara, you have two floors, and Tuma's on one floor, and they have a gap.
Right, yeah, yeah. We view it like this. And we'll see, actually, we learned it last night, another application of concept of Rowan. So we'll see. Omar Abaye, Abaye says, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Savrala Kavua Bechada Upalikala Alei Bechada. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father. Now, who is the father of Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda. That's why his name is Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. So, long dead. So he was Palig. He agreed with him in one halacha, but argues on him in a different. He agrees with his father that there is concept of rowin. Right? We saw in our Mishnah yesterday at the bottom of the Amud. He said Rabbi Yehuda says rowin. Right? We say that it has to be strong enough to hold the brick, and he says, well, if it's made of like straw or if it's round or anything else, we say that look at it as if it's made of metal. Look at it as if it's square. That's so he says rowan. So too his son Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says we do rowan. If one is aliona, one is tachtona, we use our imagination and lower one and raise the other. But he argues with his father on one din. Because Rabbi Yehuda, as we learned on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that he says the mavoi and also schach could be over 20 amos. So over here he says the elyon has to be lower. So clearly he argues on his father in that din, and the Gemara doesn't try to. Resolve it, but to make him agree with his father. I would have said maybe it's different if it's the case of the splitting, but Kumar doesn't say that, so I must be wrong. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Besochav, in Lamal Mechav, in Lamal Mechav, lo. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says no, if it's within 20, great, and if not, then it's a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rechava Afal Pishena Bria. So he says that this qualification of having a brick is only a width requirement. It has nothing to do with the quality of it or the shape of it, as we'll see. It doesn't have to be strong enough. Masni le Rav Yehuda lechia barav kamei derav. Rav Yehuda, masni le Rav Yehuda lechia barav. Yes, so Rav Yehuda, not Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was teaching chia barav in front of Rav. He was teaching this Mishnah. We've seen this before. Right, we saw this. It was, I think, at the bottom, of Beis, and we saw it again, where Rav Chia is teaching Rav's. Sorry, no, Rav Yehuda is teaching Rav's son in front of Rav. And this is how he taught. Rechava afa pishena bria, meaning as our Mishnah says, Amar le, and Rav says back, Asniya rechava ubria, teach it. That it's rechava ubria, that meaning that it's not just a width requirement; it's also it has to be strong enough to hold the brick. So Rav basically is telling Rav Yehuda to teach his son a different girsa of the Mishnah. This is what happened last time, also, right? Where Rabbi Yehuda said you might, and he says no, it's not right. So that you don't have to be my. Oh no, sorry, the Tzuras Pesach din, and Rav doesn't hold the Tzuras Pesach, right? That Tzuras Pesach helps if it's wider than 10 amos. So same thing over here. Rav had a different version, and he told Rabbi Yehuda, don't teach the version that you have; teach this version. So what exactly is the machlokas then? This is probably the Rishonim try to struggle with. So there's the Tana Kama and there's Rabbi Yehuda. Does he hold Rabbi Yehuda just not there? I think that Tosos over here, you'll see, Tosos and Sneha Rachav and Bria deals with this and, is trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe it flips the opinions. Maybe Rav meant that. No, the Tana Kama says that Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says it's only about width. Sorry, it's about width and strength. And the Tana Kama is the one who says no, it's only about width. So however we may understand it, but there, just read the first words of Tosfos. Peirush Rashbam ve'ein machlokes b'davar. The Rashbam says there's no machlokes in this Mishnah. So I don't know if it's like is Rabbi Yehuda even quoted in the Mishnah? Maybe the gears of the Mishnah just don't include Rabbi Yehuda's opinion at all. Whatever it might be. So then he's going to challenge that. El Nirshad Mahafik Divrei Rabbi Yehuda L'Rabbanan. Maybe you should switch the opinions. So that's what Tosfos deals with over there, and the other Rishonim try to explain what exactly this is. But at the end, you'll see the bottom of that Tosfos. It says Sichon Shargul Ma'ita Mishnah Lo Nishnas Kamo Shehigia. But we have a similar example where Rav says different girsa than the Mishnah regarding Tosfos Pesach, and it says Kamo Nishnas Kamo Shehigia V'Chein Pasko Ha'Gaonim. Right, and the Gaonim seem to paskin like that. Right, the Ein Halacha K'Rav. That we don't paskin like Rav, so what we have in our Mishnah is what we're going to stick with. That's our story. We're sticking with it, and Rav, you know, has his gersos, but we're sticking with the Mishnah. Okay, so back to the Gemara. Rechava afal pishena bria amar leisnei rechava bria. But then the question: hold on, v'hamar Rabbi Lai amar Rav, but Rabbi Lai said in the name of Rav himself, Rechava arba afal pishena bria. If it's four tefachim wide, it doesn't matter. About the quality of it, the strength of it, even if it can't hold a brick, as long as it's four tefachim wide. So how can Rav say over here, seemingly, say that the quality does matter? It has to be able to hold a bria, an ariach. So the Gemara says, Rechava arba shani. No, four tefachim is different. We're talking about one tefach. When it comes to if it's one tefach, says Rav, one tefach has to be strong enough to hold a brick. But if it's four tefachim wide, even if it's not strong enough to hold a brick, four tefachim wide is enough. Why that might be? So some of the first discussed, maybe because if it's four tefachim, it's more noticeable. If it's four tefachim, maybe it'll constitute a tikra, a roof, and therefore there are other dinim that will come from that. We can consider it's yored, as if it goes down and creates a wall if it's four tefachim wide. But whatever it is, there's a different standard if it's four tefachim. If it's one tefach, says Rav, it must be strong enough to hold an ariach. But if it's four tefachim, then strength doesn't really matter, because four tefachim has a new din. Okay. Ha'yisah shel kash v'chule. So, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, if it was made of kash, that's fine, because it's only a width requirement, not a strength requirement. So, my kamash malan. What's this coming to teach us? Demrinan roen hainu hach. Right? When we said roen, hainu hach, that's what it is. Meaning, when we say it doesn't have to be strong enough. It doesn't have to be strong enough as long as it's a tefach wide. It doesn't have to be strong enough to hold a brick. So, and then the Mishnah goes on to say, if it was made of straw, for example, Mishnah doesn't do examples. Mishnah only does examples if you're teaching me an extra chiddush. Right? The Mishnah is written in a very concise way. So hainu hach, that's what it is. You don't have to give me an example. We got it. Ma'adisheva, no. What would you have said? Bimina amrinan. Maybe, okay, it doesn't have to be strong enough. But to hold the brick, but it has to be made of a material that could be strong enough to hold a brick. Shalobamina, but if it's not, you know, wood, but rather it's just straw, which, like, you need a crazy amount of straw to be able to hold a brick. That's not what we're talking about. A beam of straw will not hold a brick. So shalobamina, lo, amrina, maybe we wouldn't say this. Kamash malandano. That's what the Mishnah comes to teach us. That not only that it doesn't have to be strong enough to hold a brick, but even if it's like a flimsy material that's not even wood, even that would be fine. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Akuma roen osakilu hipshuta. If it was bent, so we view it as if it's straight. Pshuta. No, it's a Hasidish. It's a Hasidish correction. It says pshuta. No, pshuta, pshita. No, I'm kidding. No, so it's responding. What? Same concept as our previous question. We said we can play pretend. We said we do rowing. We do that. So you gave me an example of if it's straw. Okay, but I would get on my own. If it's bent, I view it. So it says rowing. I view it as if it's straight. So why do I have to give this elaboration as well? So kamash malan kid Rabbi Zeira. So it's coming to teach me the chiddush of Rabbi Zeira. Dumb Rabbi Zeira. If the korah is within the space of the mavoi, vakumisa chutz lamavoi, but the bend is outside the mavoi. So, for example, right? So let's say over here. Do I have a picture? Yeah. Okay. Great. Perfect. So you have a picture over here. Ignore the words here for a minute. So you have this beam over here, and then it extends outwards, and this horseshoe shape this ukmamisa is outside of the space of the mavoi. So he besoch mavoi ukmamisa chut mavoi. He besoch esrin, or instead of doing it by that, do it by, let's say we're talking about a very, very high mavoi, as high as can be. The korah is 20 amos. It's besoch esrim. Vakumisa lamala. Right? But it has a lump on its head that extends over the 20 amos mark, which sounds like our case of back on Daf Gimel about the mavoi is half in, this one with partially within 20 amos, partially without. And then we have like four different opinions about that and sukkah, which one is kosher, which one is not. So we get into that shaila. He lamala me'asara, or let's say the korah is above 10 tefachim. Vakumisa lamata me'asara, but the akum caves downwards, and now that's within 10 tefachim. So what do we say about this? Rohan kol she'ili nata akumisa, the ain bein zelazesh shlosha. So we view it as if you just take out the extra piece, the curve, you take it out, you view it as if it's not there. The ain bein zelazesh shlosha, and as long as it's less than three tefachim, ain sarach levi korach eres. Ve'im lav sarach levi korach eres. But if not, right? If you would remove that bend, the kmamisa, then you have a three tefach or more gap. That's a problem because we can't apply lavud. Very simple, right? But too simple. Hanami pshita he. Right, that's also simple. You're telling me that the chiddush of the Mishnah is that even it, right, and even if it's a ben, we see, well, of course, that's just a classic case of lavud, or close to classic. It's close enough to classic case of lavud. So he besoch mavoy avakumisa chutz lmavoy. No. So the chiddush is this, in this case in particular. If it is within the mavoy, the first we mentioned three cases. So let's go to the first one. It is within three tefachim. It's within the airspace of the mavoi, but the curve goes outwards. Chutz lamavoi, it's shrichale. That's the case we need it. Why? Ma desim, what would I have said? Lichosh dilma asilim shuche basra. Maybe someone will be drawn to go under it because it's on the outside, but it's part of the same korah. So maybe someone would think, okay, I can go under the korah, and they would go under this bend of the korah. And if they're under this bend of the korah, they're actually outside of the mavoi. They're in a rishus harabim, mamish, or even karmas, whatever it is. They're in a rishus harabim, and they're standing under the korah, thinking, "Oh, I'm under the korah because I'm on the outside." So you might think that's a reason that even if it's less than three tefachim, it's less than three tefachim. So there's no problem. Like love kicks in, and we should view it as if it's not there. But maybe even so, it's a problem because people will be drawn to go under it, and then you have a problem. Kamash Milan, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, nope, that's not the case. It's actually fine. Okay? And now, Agul, so we'll hold it here. In the next case, it's going to analyze Agula, Rowan Osaki Elohim Rubas, Hasulam Ali. So why do we need to teach us this, the same question? We can figure, we can do Rowan. So why do we have to mention if it's round, even if it's square? If it's round, we do that if it's square. So Sulam Ali, Seifa Tzrichalei. That, because introducing the important part, which is the Seifa, Kol Sheish Be'ekev Gimel Tvachim, Yesh Barachav Tefach. To teach us that anything that has a circumference, right, if a round pole has a circumference of three Tvachim, so you can trust that its width, its diameter, is going to be a Tefach. And the Gemara is going to ask me, not Hani Mili, and now we're going to get into some nice geometry on Yudal Amud Beis. So we'll hold it here for now. The one zikr point that we mentioned that we learned already is the discussion about twin right, the koros mathimos, the twin koros, and that if they're separate, then if they're able to hold together, that works. If they're separate, I think that's a machlokas. So if they're separate, that's fine. And even if they are, one is high and one is low, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda has a chiddush that we do row in and we view them as if they're level. So that's the first zikr point. And the second zikr point is going to be the discussion about the circumference of a three tefach circumference will indicate one tefach diameter. So it's going to be a juggler. The juggler with his yadayim, his yad. So you see, like zoom in on his hands in your mind. You zoom in on his hands. He has these things of fire, and he's juggling them through like the space of these twin koros. So you see, these twin koros could be one's higher, one's lower, and the juggler is showing off with his hands, throwing up the torches in between them. Might get a little bit messy, so we'll see what happens next. But you can never trust these simonim. Okay, shkoyach.